Should schools have the power to ban your child from having a best friend? I just posted an article on my Facebook wall that had a title, something to that effect. It's not right in front of me, but the idea here is, should the school have the power to micromanage your child's life? That's sort of the general theme of what was being discussed, and it threw me into somewhat of a frenzy after I saw this article, which was posted by, I believe it was World Health News, and it was written by a psychologist, a female psychologist, and I was appalled at what she was discussing here in this article. And it threw me for a loop, and I had to look into it to make sure this wasn't just some kind of Snopes.com article or something like that. And it turns out, no, it's serious. And not only is it serious, but there have been many articles on this. There's been much discussion on this, and it's not even just a discussion. It's actually happening in American and Canadian schools. And there's even an article I had somebody sent my way from the UK. This is going on in Europe as well, where schools are actively banning this age-old human tradition of having besties. No longer will you be permitted in school settings to have a bestie. Because why? Why? Why can't you have a best friend? Why can't you have a shoulder to lean on? Why can't you have someone in your life that you choose to be a little bit more private with, a little more intimate with, to form a special bond with? No more special bonds. No more special bonds. We need to include everybody. That is the concern. The concern, my friends, is that you're excluding other people from your peer group by having a best friend. And you're encouraging bullying. That's what they're suggesting. You're encouraging bullying by having best friends. So let's get into this. And I haven't been recording many episodes lately because it was Christmas and New Year's, and I was feasting and enjoying my time with my family and taking a bit of a break, catching up on some reading. And I'm very happy to be back. And lo and behold, I open up my Facebook feed and I see this article and I look into it and it's legit. And then I start researching it and then I do the post and then I get some conversations going. And thanks to everybody that participated in this post. I appreciate it. It was not nearly as explosive as my vegan post. That's for another day. But for this post, I was very happy that the response from most people was, this is ridiculous. This can't be true. And a lot of people that follow me, their parents, they have children, their grandparents, they've been around the block with this. And they also are human beings that have grown up having friends, best friends, relationships break down. You have other relationships that pop up in your life. This is a normal thing. And then I saw that Jordan Peterson posted the same article and had the same concerns. And his comment was, hey, leave them alone. They're formatting their future relationships with mates. That's what this is. There's a lot of psychological research that goes into the benefits of having a best friend. But you see, in our political correct culture now, you can't use the word best. You can't be the best anymore. You can't strive to be the best. You know why? Because it encourages competition. And competition is related with capitalism. And capitalism is related with industrialism and taking over and imperialism and on and on and on the dogma goes. And this is going right from the kindergarten level in these little tiny ripple effect things like, oh, your friend you can't have best friends. We're going to micromanage your food that you bring to school. We're going to micromanage every area of your child's life. We're going to show them and teach them only one side of history. We're going to encourage this new, essentially, cultural Marxist view. This is what is being, it's rampant everywhere now. And this is just a little tiny thing. I'm picking on a very minute little thing. Wouldn't be a big deal if it was just one thing in isolation and everybody could just have a debate about it and then it would go away. It's one little tiny pebble that hits the pond and causes all kinds of ripple effects, and then there's other pebbles that hit the pond, and then eventually, I don't know where that analogy was going, but I hope you can understand the drift here, is that eventually these children are not able to think critically. They're being completely separated from the authority and the guidance of their parents, because both parents now have to work two jobs. Often kids are raised in daycares and then they go to school. And so throughout the daycare thing, this is also being encouraged. Like, we don't want best friends. We don't want favoritism. We don't want favoritism here. We want inclusion, including everybody. And it's linked. So this is where it grinds my gears, okay? It grinds my gears, number one, that the school is going to have this level of influence over your child. Like, your job is just to teach them reading, writing, arithmetic, and hopefully some philosophy, and hopefully some things about nature and life, and hopefully some self-esteem building and all that. But no, what we're learning in school is mass collectivization. Your children are being collectivized beyond sanity, okay? And yes, let's get into it right now. We're tribal by nature. We like to form intimate friendships, intimate relationships, as well as peer groups and friend groups. And then we have acquaintances, and then we have people that we know, and then we have people that we don't like, and all of these kinds of different complex things, because we are complex and we need all of it. See, the Greeks had this down. They had different names for love. They had different types of love. There were different types of love. There was agape love. There was, I can't remember all the Greek terms, just go look it up, you know, Greek philosophy, love, and you'll see all the different expressions of what love was. And it was like love of a brother, love of a mother, love of a father, love of a wife, love of a husband, love of your nation, love of philosophy, love of your God, or love of earth, you know, all of these different forms of love, because human beings express a multiplicity of different variations of the same energy that we would call love, which is linked with friendship. So if you're going to have a best friend, when I had best friends, when I grew up, I had, in all the different stages of my growth, I had a friend that I gravitated to more than others. So I played favorites, okay? And it wasn't that I had only a best friend and no other friends. And that seems to be the way it's sounding when you read this article. And I will put links below. I'm going to show the pros and cons of this argument. And I honestly, guys, I'm going to go into my rant of this, but I want you to think critically about this. I want you to give your opinion. I want you to leave comments. If you disagree with me, shout me down. Show me where I'm wrong. If you agree with me, cheer me on. I don't care. I just think that this is a discussion that we have to have, because guess what? It's happening. It's happening whether you're aware of it or not. And it's just one little thing that's happening. There are many things that I could get into that are in the same category of taking your child's mind and putting it through a blender and then taking away all self-identity and essentially turning them into a Borg-like creature that will serve the state and not serve their own life and their own interests. And I feel like this is just one little permutation of that, where they're making it seem like if you have a best friend, you hate other people, or you're projecting hate, right? You're creating a feeling of exclusion, and that causes psychological trauma. So instead of addressing the self-esteem factor in each individual child so that you raise them to be empowered to the point where they're not so weak and soft that if some kid says, hey, you're my friend, but Jerry over there is my best friend, they're not going to go home and tell their parents that they need to find a safe space, or tell their teacher they need to find a safe space and cry it out. You know what I mean? As often. Like, when you're dealing with children, and I work with children of all ages, my friends, okay? I work with children of all ages. I have children of my own. Yes, they're younger, so I do have some experience yet to have in terms of dealing with children of maybe in the teen years or whatever. But what I've seen is that it's beneficial to these children to go through this practicing phase of how to form relationships with other human beings. And if we interfere too much, it's kind of like when you watch Star Trek and they're like, don't interfere with evolving species. Or, you know, when you watch nature shows and someone sees a lion killing a little baby calf, and then they leave the calf there, the lion leaves the calf there for a moment and does something else, And then they're like, oh, should we rescue the calf while the lion's gone? No, no, you don't interfere with nature. You let nature take its course. Nature is cruel. Nature is brutal to our perception because we don't understand what nature is and we can't even figure ourselves out. So we have no idea what we're talking about. So we project our own psychology onto nature. So we have a bad understanding of what's actually happening. So, but either way, the rule is don't interfere with another species. Don't interfere with it. Let it take its course. If you interfere too much, you could twist it into something that's Frankensteinian in nature, and it's no longer in its natural form. And I feel like that is what is happening by constantly meddling in the affairs of children's development. And there are, and you know what? It's not just me, guys. I'm not just sitting here ranting by myself. For that one little psychologist that posted that article that's getting all kinds of hits right now and it's becoming popular, there are like a dozen psychologists and people that research, especially child psychology, will absolutely disagree with what's being put forward in this, in my opinion, ridiculous notion. The best. You can't use the word best because best means that you're playing favorites. But I'm like, no, you should be playing favorites in your life. You should pick and choose. And children need this. They need to learn. And yeah, they're going to hurt each other's feelings in the process. We all had to go through it. And we continue to do it as adults, by the way. So it's not like, by overly protecting them from the way life is going to happen regardless, I feel like we're doing a disservice here and we're not being honest. See, because the honest thing to do is to let a child do what's natural to them. It's natural. They've done studies, polls for years, and the numbers of people that come back saying that they grew up having a best friend is like 94%. 94%. There's very few polls that you come back with that kind of like overwhelming majority of people that would say, yeah, I had a best friend and it positively impacted my life to have a best friend. And then we broke up for a while and then we got hooked up again later down the road or whatever. Or I switched best friends down the road or whatever. But it was something that, you know, it helped shape the way that I sought out a partner in my future for marriage and then starting a family. And it's funny because the qualities that, if I could think back to my life, the qualities that I was looking for in friends when I was forming relationships, and then when you start hanging out with certain people more than others, and then you just have a bond and you like the same things and you tell each other your deepest, darkest fears, and you're under a blanket with a flashlight telling each other ghost stories, and then, you know, you grew up a little bit and then you get to see each other go through like heartbreak and disappointment, and then you get to see each other go and win tournaments or championships or pass your grades or do that dirt bike trick that went really, really wrong, and then your best friend's there to either help you up or laugh at you, and then you can joke about it later. Like, having a best friend is like the ultimate mirror to your own self. That's what relationships with other people are. I'm acting as a mirror for you, and you're acting as a mirror for me. And it all depends on how well we get along and how many things we get in common and how many things we either see eye to eye on or at least are compatible when we're relating on those things, that determines the depth of the bond that we're going to form. Because human beings, by nature, we form bonds and we play favorites with the people we form bonds with. And I just think there's nothing wrong with that. And I think one of the lessons of learning how to have different ranking systems of friends, which was another thing that this psychologist was complaining about, and I hear a lot about this, is that no, you shouldn't have a ranking system because everybody's equal and your friendships should be equal, meaning you should be giving the equal amount of love and the equal amount of attention and the equal amount of high fives to all of the people that you consider your friends. Well, my goodness, if you're in a class of like 30 kids or 50 kids, how the hell can you possibly do that? And then the one, I will say this, she was saying in the article, well, I'm all for having smaller groups of friends. So you can have smaller groups of friends in her eyes, but you can't have one best friend. But what's the difference? When is it going to end? Think about it logically, all right? So it's wrong to have a best friend because you're playing favorites and you're excluding other people from your group, and then you're offending them, and then they're going to go and commit suicide because you know what I'm, like, this is how they talk about it. Like, it's so serious. We have to deal with this very important issue. But then it's okay to have a small group of friends. If you have a small group of friends, are you not still excluding other children from your little small group of friends? Is it not still the same? Or is it like, oh, well, it's the lesser of two evils. So it's better to have a small group of friends. It's been proven to show that it helps children develop psychologically to have these close groups of friends. Well, yes, it does. Yes, it does. You should have both. How about that? You should have a best friend. Then you should have a small group of friends that you can really connect to and rely on them. And you get together regularly and there's some consistency in developing that relationship. And it's training you. This is what it takes to connect to another human being. You can't just Facebook message somebody once in a while and expect to have a really deep bond with that person. If you want to form a really deep bond, you have to sometimes go out of your way to say, hey, how's it going? How was that exam that you wrote? How's your knee doing when you fell on the pavement the other day? Like, you've got to show a little bit of concern, and it's teaching empathy, and it's teaching compassion, and it's teaching you how to connect. You're gonna meet a lot of people that you don't like. Like, most of the people, let's be honest, most of the people that you meet in your life, whether at school or at work or in your business or online or at events or at your yoga class or whatever, most of the people that you meet, you will not like them. That's the truth. And children are no different. I have my daughter already coming to me and saying, I really don't like that person. I don't like hanging out with that person. And it's not because that person's a jerk. She's just like, I don't have fun with that person. I don't connect. I don't have a connection. So she already understands that whatever it is, I don't have the answers as to what it is, but there are forces at work where you have a chemical bond. You have a certain attraction to certain kinds of personalities and certain kinds of people. And if we're now going to micromanage that whole process, I think that's going to be devastating in the long run. So I post the article, I get some comments going. Most people, I feel, last time I checked, were in agreement with me about this. And they started posting other articles saying, yeah, this is all over the place. And then I'm having some conversations with some people that I know. And someone brought it up that, oh, I feel that it's a legitimate thing. I don't use the word best in my house. And I don't let my kids use the word best friends. Because the argument was, well, my girls are a little bit older. And the person was saying, especially with girls, girls change their best friends like every other week. She's like, so you just wait. And then you'll see what I mean. And so I'm like, okay, fair play. They change their best friends all the time. But they're young. Of course, they change their interests all the time. They change their likes of what they like, what kind of music they want to listen to, what boy they think is cute, and what kind of clothes they want to wear all the time. It's whatever's the new fad that attracts them. Children are like little hummingbirds, like just, you know, oh, that's cool, that's pretty, there's nectar there, oh, that looks good. So they're changing constantly. So yeah, they're going to change their friends all the time. And they're going to go through drama because they're developing the emotional part of their brain, and they're developing the, you know, they're growing and developing. You can't expect reason and rationality from these kids. And if we over-police them and say, well, nobody's a best friend. You can have friends that you like to hang out with more, but you need to include that person that you don't want to hang out with, or you have to include other people. And I really feel like this is sounding a lot like what we're seeing happening even on university campuses with grown adults that are like, everybody's equal, you can't exclude anybody else, or otherwise it's a hate crime and now it's considered violence and all this kind of stuff. If you have any kind of preference, and your preferences are going to be policed, let me tell you, because we're going to tell you what your preferences should be and what they shouldn't be according to our standards. And if you can see what's happening on these campuses, it's getting out of bloody hand with all these social justice warriors and all of this. Just, it's dumbing them down and it's weakening them. I don't want my kids to be weak. I don't want them to come and cry and whine and, you know, feel like the whole world came crashing down just because somebody didn't pay attention to them. I want them to go through that and toughen up and learn about life. And I want them to have best friends and then have a breakup with the best friend and then go for a while with another best friend. And I want them to form bonds. That's practicing forming different kinds of bonds. And what are your preferences? What do you like? What do you don't like? And I definitely want my daughters to figure out what they don't like so that when they start dating boys, they have a super sharp GPS radar system as to what they don't like, so they can actively shun and exclude those horny little adolescent boys that are going to come after them, okay? All right? And also just kids that are, boys and girls that are going to be mean to them. And that they're, and just to have a recognition of what you like. What do you, and because figuring out what you like and who you like is also a part of learning about what you want in life. What you want, what your goals are going to be, what your values are going to be. And if you're hanging around with people that don't share your values, absolutely you should actively shun those people and shut the door and stop calling them. And if people are abusing you, all the more, shut the door to those people. You got to learn, these children need to be taught that they have free will, and they should be taught self-esteem and confidence like every single day. Not overly, not to the point where they're learning, because every time I bring that up, I have to quantify it, even though I've done 100 shows on it already, but I will say it again, that when I'm advocating self-esteem, I'm not advocating that people become these narcissistic brutes. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about having confidence, love, and care for yourself, looking out for yourself. You need to have that. That's a human survival mechanism. You must have that installed. That's the software that came with the model. It should be encouraged. Those muscles should be developed. You know, just this coddling, it's weakening our society, and it is weakening our culture. And no, I can't make the argument that just because there's some schools that want to encourage children not to have a best friend and all that kind of stuff, that's somehow the sign that they're weakening our culture. I just think it's one little permutation of a myriad of other examples that I could cover and that I've covered from time to time on the show that I feel are detrimental to the development of our children, which will eventually affect the development of our culture and our society. So we need some strength. We need some confidence in these kids. We need them to have some failures and some bad experiences and some breakups and some heartbreak. And like, that's how the best music was invented. That's how the greatest art was invented. That's how all the best thinkers came up to be. They came to be from tragedy. And if you try to micromanage their life, like be like a helicopter parent and just micromanage everything all the time, you are doing them a disservice. You are not protecting them. I posted a really cool quote from Hicks and Gracie where he was saying, our fears don't stop death. Our fears stop life. So all the fears and all the things you avoid all the time, they're not going to save you. Guess what? You're on a one-way ticket to Earth. You come here and one day you're going to die. That is just something you need to know and understand and accept and actually appreciate. All living things live and they all die. But let's not be depressed about it. Let's learn that you're not doing yourself any favors by trying to put a straitjacket on yourself and walk around in a little bubble. Go out and live life. It's those that go out and live passionately, without fear, without living through fear. They end up living a very fulfilling life. And it might not always be the longest life, I mean, but it's the quality, right? It's like Braveheart. Every man dies, not that every man really lives. Go out and really live and go experience the world and get drilled in to other people and start to profile people and get used to it and learn who you are, what you like, what you don't like, how you like to be treated, how you don't like to be treated. So that it's not going to be a big mystery down the road when you're trying to find out who you want to be with. And there was one point in the article, if I can remember correctly, and I encourage you to read it just so you can see what's going on here. But there was one point in the article where they were talking about how this creates bullies. Okay, so I got a little thing on bullies. Bullies, the bullying thing that's happening, it's not really an epidemic. And I know I used to even reference it like that, but I've thought more about it. Like I was referencing the fact that it might be a epidemic not because there's more bullies, but because our children are weaker than before. Problem solving skills are not there. The ability to face adversity was not there. The presence of a strong masculine energy in the home was not there. So you end up with a bunch of weaklings that are going to schools and they're getting plowed over by children that are actively seeking out victims because obviously they want to boost their own egos, and this is a whole dynamic. Children are immature. They're very cruel to each other, okay? Even siblings, you should just see how cruel they can be to each other. But this is a natural process of figuring out morality, all right? And I think bullying, this is my point, I think bullying is an act of nature to weed out the weak. You'd be like, oh my God, Dave, that's like eugenics or something. No. Think about this. What is a bully? Yes, it's cruel. Yes, I personally don't tolerate it in my own life. I don't do it to other people. And I disagree with the whole notion of bullying because I know where it comes from. It comes from a lack of confidence. And so obviously the dynamic of the psychology of a bully is, oh, there's some prey. Think of animals. There's something that's weak. That's an easy target for me to get what I want, which is I want to feel good about myself. So if I can't feel good at myself on my own, by my own acts and by understanding, having a good upbringing and having positive influences in my life, if I don't have that, I'm going to go and seek negative attention. Now, if I can't get positive attention, I'll seek negative attention, and I will victimize these kids who are just letting me get away with it. It's like when you're on a black belt, like a mat with black belts, and they see a little white belt walk in, they're like, yummy. And if they're nice black belts, they'll go and they'll help them out. But if they're kind of a bullyish black belt, they'll go in and they'll just like take this guy for a walk in the park, so to speak, quote unquote. And here's the thing, in both cases of that white belt and these kids, as cruel as it is, it's the best thing that'll ever happen to you. That comes from a father. That's a fatherly type of advice. It's not this coddled, oh, my poor little sweetie, someone was picking on you. How dare they? They don't know who you really are. I'm totally an advocate that that's the conversation that mom should have with the kid. The conversation that dad should have with the kid is, wow, that's brutal. You should never tolerate that. You know why that kid's doing it to you? It's because they're weaker than you. They're afraid of you. You represent some kind of threat to them, or you have something that they want, or you're just an easy target. So let's change that. Let me grab some hand pads. I'm going to show you a double leg takedown, and we're going to solve this problem ASAP. But here's the thing. It was the best thing that ever happened to you, because it's going to teach you some valuable lessons about life, and we need to get you strong fast. If you ever witness animals in nature, they have to go through the most grueling things to survive. We don't even understand what happens to animals in the wild, let alone factory farms and all that kind of stuff that people are, you know, obviously it's upset about. But think about just in nature, the lifespan and the quality of life of the average animal, especially if you're mid-range or low level on the food chain, is absolute and total anguish and hell until you die a painful, blood-curdling death. That's the life of most animals in the wild. And the parents of these young animals, pick your species, they train and teach and strengthen up these kids. And you know what? There are some species of animals that if the kid isn't strong enough to survive, they will leave them to die. It's the cruelest shit you've ever heard. Humans would never do that, right? And I'm not advocating that. Holy crap, that's obviously just an extreme. But I'm using it as a comparison because we are a product of nature. And we have all of the kingdoms inside of us. We have the animal kingdom, the mineral kingdom, and some other unknown kingdom that just makes us different and contributes to this feeling that we have that maybe we don't even belong here. But anyways, we're different, but we're also alike in many respects. And we are a super complex being. But we still need the challenge. In fact, humanity would not be here, would not have evolved to the point that we've gotten to, and would not be alive and thriving with civilizations and Starbucks and all that kind of stuff if we had not gone through the gauntlet of nature and achieved this status. And that didn't happen by getting coddled. and being worried about exclusion and being worried about your feelings. Nature doesn't give a damn about your feelings. You can give a damn about your feelings. Your family and your best friends can give a damn about your feelings. And you need to give a damn about your own feelings. You need to process them and have a really good connection with your emotional self. I'm not saying you shouldn't have feelings. It's one of the spectrums that is an amazing part of the human being. But don't force the entire world to give a crap about your feelings. Everybody is a human being, and we all have the same capacity to feel what you're feeling. So you have to learn some self-reliance. This was one of the key components. If you go back to my Bushido episode, where I was talking about the code of Bushido and the code of the warrior, and I read from the Hamaval, and I read the 9 virtues of a Satru. One of the main tenets of a Satru, one of the 9, is self-reliance. Because this culture recognized that to be a warrior and to be able to survive in harsh conditions, you must develop self-reliance. Not just how to use weapons, how to hunt, how to trap, how to fish, how to forge, how to cook, and how to eat and survive and build structures to live in and all that kind of stuff. Not just that, but also how to be strong, how to have a strong personality. And it's this strength, this unique quality that is possessed by human beings and that got us to where we are, that is being eradicated in our culture today. And that is my problem. And that is why I'm raging about this particular issue. And yeah, I can pick an issue. We could sit here all night and go through all of the things that are contributing to the weakening of Western society. And I could even, and I will do this, and I've got a lot of notes on this, so stay tuned to this channel. For those that like getting into the conspiracy stuff and the history stuff and the alternative information and trying to understand what's going on geopolitically in the world and what's happening right now, if you want to know some real crazy-ass shit, tune in very soon. I'm going to be doing an episode focusing on the subjects of cultural Marxism, the history of communism and socialism and capitalism, and I'm going to be dissecting it. But I will say that, honestly, if you really want some really good stuff on this, we do this all the time on the Unslaved podcast. So that's your place to go and check out to get the real detailed analysis of that. But I do want to do my own analysis on this show for this, because it will relate to future issues I bring up, and it's good to get big picture. So this would be like small picture. We're just zooming in on one little thing. I'm just being pretty nitpicky about this one little issue, but I will show you a bigger perspective of this that will literally blow your mind and will help you get some bearings as to what's actually happening in the world. And I won't cover that information to depress you or freak you out. I'm just gonna cover that information so that you can have some navigation points to look into, so that when you see things happening in the schools and you see culture changing and you see all of this claptrap coming from the media and all this kind of stuff going on, you actually are gonna know what's going on. You're gonna have some really good insight as to why these things are happening. And I think that's important to know. But as for this problem and this little issue, I just feel like, why can't we have a little bit more of a hands-off effect when it comes to kids? Like, let them go through it. And even if it is detrimental, let them go through it. It's not something that's going to absolutely shatter them. Just because they don't get invited to sit at a certain table, or they were part of a group and now they're not a part of a group. Why are we encouraging them to be so reliant on a group anyways? That's the main point I really want to get and hit on here, is that why is everything designed to collectivize the shit out of these kids to the point where they don't have an identity anymore? They are not individuated like some of the greatest minds that ever looked at the human psyche and spent their entire lives looking at the psyche spoke about endlessly, wrote books on it, wrote philosophies on it, and were warning people about this. You are going to lose the most important ingredient to what makes you a human being. You are going to lose your humanity if you give it away, if you do not go through the process of discovering who are you, why are you here, and where are you going? These are the questions of philosophy. They are not the questions of science. And all your kids are being given is science and practical left brain academic subjects to study. And they're not growing up with their parents having a huge amount of influence over them for the most part. They're being raised in daycares, by babysitters, by nannies, and in schools. So they're being raised by the state. And then what are they walking around with? Headphones on, iPhones, iPads. Someone brought this up in the comments. Thank you, dear. I'm glad you brought it up. I appreciate it because it's an important point. Not only is this stuff happening, but on top of that, your child is being raised by the media. It's being raised by these things. Now, that doesn't mean all those things are bad, but every parent has a responsibility to their child to know what they are, to possibly, you know, restrict some of the screen time and just to educate them about what the hell they're watching. And I'll tell you what, if you start with the foundation with that child of giving them an individuated psyche and having them respect themselves and love themselves so that they're capable of respecting and loving other people, and you allow them to practice relationships with other people and don't go in there and micromanage everything, and God damn it, don't let the school do it. They don't know jack. They're ruining your kids. And it's freaky. And yeah, there's some great teachers out there, but my God, look at the standardized testing. Look at what they're doing. Go read the book, The Dumbing Down of America, if you want to really understand what's going on. Go watch some old documentaries by people like G. Edward Griffin or whatnot, where they were talking about the influence of Marxism in the school system and how they're going to use three generations to take over America from within. That's some pretty hard-hitting shit that we're going to be getting into in the future, and it's relevant. And this is one little permutation of that. So if you're looking at this in isolation, you're like, Dave, it's not really a big deal. Let me tell you how the system works. You give it an inch, they take a mile. You give them a mile, they take 10 miles. Your freedoms have been chipped away at bit by bit. It's the boiling frog scenario. You don't put a frog, and this is just from the Mississippi guys, whatever, they eat frogs. I don't eat frogs. But if you want to boil a frog, you don't boil the water and then throw the frog in, he's going to jump out. You put the frog in before the water's boiling, you turn the heat up, it slowly gets to the temperature, the frog doesn't even notice it, and then, boom, he's dead, and he didn't try to escape. And that is what is happening to Western culture right now. And this is just one little effect, one little ripple effect of many, many, many little things that are at the source, that come from the source of what's really going on, which is that they want your children's minds to be programmed in a very particular way. And they're going to tell you every day, this is what's best for them. This is what's best for them. This is what's best for society. This is what's best for the world. But let me tell you this, we have plenty of historical examples of where this shit goes wrong. We have plenty of research and evidence. And of course, if you have even a semblance of common sense, you can figure this out on your own. And that's why I rant and rave about it on this show and in the work that I do. And as much as I just want to spend time working on personal development and boosting up your self-esteem and giving you some beautiful tidbits of amazing information from brilliant minds and talking about the martial arts and talking about movement and talking about all these different beautiful things, sometimes you got to talk about some of the darker things that happen. And we have to raise alarms. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I'd be really happy if I was. But I really don't feel like I am. And need I say more, because the proof is always in the pudding, is it not? Need I say more when you look at what's going on in the university setting, where these are supposed to be developed minds, they're borderline adults, they're ready to go out and take over all the positions of power in our institutions of the world and start businesses and work for jobs and start contributing to society. They're just about ready to go there. And look at the whining and the complaining and the weakness and the all these different things that I've bitched about before. And I'm bitching about it on behalf of these misguided children that have been let down by the academic system and have been let down by their parents who are just making the best decisions they know how to make. They don't have enough time in their day to go and research and learn all this kind of stuff, sadly, because they're working six jobs and they're doing all this. And I understand all the problems. But either way, here we are. Here we are right now, 2018, a new year is upon us. And we are moving faster and faster towards a pretty freaky situation, if you know what you're looking at, and if you can look at all this objectively. And if you can collate all these different points of information and put some puzzle pieces together and see the bigger picture of what's happening. That's all we're trying to do. So I'll zone in now and then on little things, but remember, this is all, these are, every time we do a show, this is a puzzle piece. Every episode of Unslaved that I do with Michael is a puzzle piece. It's actually probably more than one every show. And you can take it or leave it. And I hope at the very least it stimulates your own thinking. That's all we're really trying to do, is activate your own thinking. That's what we're trying to accomplish with this. So don't micromanage your kids. Tell your teachers to piss off. Say, you know, if you disagree with this, and say, look, no, my kid really, really prefers hanging out with this kid. They're best friends. It's a normal thing. There's many studies that have been done countless times to show that it's very, very beneficial for children to have preferences and to understand rankings with people. And the last thing is just think about yourself. You do this every day. Why the hell would you have a different standard for your kid? You pick and choose who you hang out with and what you like and what you don't like all the time. Oh, hey, there's a big fat raccoon. He's coming to steal my stuff. Whatever. You do this every day. And I hope you do it more. I hope you are critical in your analysis of the people that you hang out with, to an irrational sense. You know, don't become an introvert and go lock yourself in a cabin in the woods. Be part of society. But it's okay to have preferences and to exclude people that you would just prefer not to hang out with. You are one person. You have a short life. You don't have to please everybody. And that's what they're turning your kids into. Pleasing everybody. Extroverted. They want extremely extroverted children. You know why? Because they'll grow up and they will be subservient and they will never question and they will do what they're told and they will never defect. And they will never rebel. And they will never poke their head up and say, hey, I disagree with that. And they will never become unslaved because of the fact that they've been formed from a young age. Like those Jesuit sayings that would say, give me a child until the age of 7 and I can give you anything you want. I can mold that child into anything I want. So who is your child exposed to more? You and your values? And the values of your family and your grandparents, and your, are you passing down a lineage to your child, or are you just handing them over to the state to turn them into mind-controlled zombie slaves? Because that's what's happening. That is what's happening, and I don't want to sound like an extremist when I say that. That is just what is happening. How many people do you see rebelling against what's happening and rebelling in a rational way? No, you see hissy fits. You see people throwing feces in the street. You see people walking around picketing with signs like that's going to do anything. You see people overreacting to things. You see people that are very uneducated and ignorant. You see people that are disassociated. If you study psychology for a minute, you're going to start to get a grip on what's going on around you. And you should teach your child these things. You should teach them about how their mind develops and why they're thinking what they're thinking. You should let them talk about their feelings with you. You're the parent. You're the role model in their lives. And then, yeah, let them have a confidant. Let them have someone close to them that they can trust. They've got to learn how to trust people. You can't just go and be like, I'm just going to trust every little Dick, Tom, Dick, and Harry that walks across my path because I'm trying to include everybody and I want to be popular and I want to be, that's success. And all, I'm going to get participation ribbons and all the gold stars even though I don't have to really do anything. That's the kind of culture they're creating in schools because they're so paranoid about hurting the feelings of your child because they didn't get the ribbon and they didn't get the award. And now your child grows up weak and expects that from the world. And guess what? The world, the society we've built does not give you that. There's no free lunch. And even if all the stuff melted away and there was no civilization and there was no system, you'd be at the mercy of nature around you. And let me tell you, nature will be a vicious beast towards you. It is not a walking around barefoot singing lullabies in the woods experience in reality. It is not that. It is not ponies and rainbows. Reality is brutal. Nature is brutal. Just go camping without electricity and a flint or a lighter for a week and you will come running home as fast as you possibly can to the hot running water and the refrigerator and your TV and your iPhone. You will come running back as fast as you can because reality would hit you. And we need to prepare our children for reality. We need to prepare them for the reality of nature, for the reality of the fact that not everybody is nice, and it is not what is being portrayed on all these children's shows where everybody's just jumping around and smiling and laughing. You know, my daughter mentioned the other day, why does Sophie, because Sophie's my youngest, right? So she watches like younger kids like singing song stuff. And my daughter, she's five, she's like, I don't like Sophie's shows. Everybody's too happy and shiny. Because she's already seeing, like, I don't want just one flavor. I don't want everybody to just be all fake and happy and shiny all the time. I want real experience. She's a person that she gets emotional, she gets mad, she screams, she yells, and then she's happy. And she's going through a range of emotions and discovering who she is. And she's got friends that she has. She's got a best friend up the street. He's close. He comes over. She goes over there. They're besties, man. They're going to grow up. They're going to get each other's back in school. They're going to tell each other their deepest, darkest secrets. Maybe they're going to know each other for a long time. Maybe they're going to be like, they're going to grow up and they'll always have this bond that they developed that was very unique. And yeah, of course, they'll also have other friends in their life. We're not talking about complete exclusion here. We're talking about you're one person. You're going to have a spectrum of people in your life. It's like, okay, you can't have a best friend, but we want you to get married to one person one day. We don't believe in a polygamist culture, so... Like, you think about it, like, the rationality has to extend to all the different factors of human existence, or otherwise it's not valid. It's not universal. So, if you're going to say, well, polygamy's wrong, but you can't have a best friend because you're excluding people. Well, am I excluding people if I get married to one person? If I get married to one person, or have one girlfriend or one boyfriend, because I want to have intimacy in my life, and I want to have a specific kind of focused love and affection and sharing and all that kind of stuff, I want to go through this roller coaster of learning about myself through this other person that I'm choosing to connect with on a deep level. I can't do that with everybody. I can't just be a swinger. Like, that's not healthy. We need human consciousness, and our psychology has very specific needs that need to be met. And children are naturally forming favoritism in their relationships. Think about that. That's not some cultural conditioning bullshit. That's natural. That happens naturally. And to go in and intervene, I just think that's ridiculous. And it comes from the wrong place. So that's my little rant on that, guys. Thanks for tuning in. I want you to go read the articles. I will post some articles in the link below so you can go and read more on this. Give me your thoughts. I've got more coming your way this year. 2018 is going to be a big year. Lots of really exciting things going on. So stay tuned here. WayOfTheTruthWarrior.com is my website. Unslaved.com is my project that I do with Michael Tesserian. We've got some amazing things coming your way and awesome content and all that. So tune in here, guys, and I will catch you on the flip side. Thanks for listening.